listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, live at the Dog Bowl in Berea. And folks, get the precious Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium. Or you can shop online or on the Browns official mobile app. Don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirt with a limited run available only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. Time now for a Monday feature. Three questions with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Cherry. And Gerard, welcome to the show, brother. How was your bye week weekend?
My bye weekend was very relaxing, man. I feel like we're in San Diego. Matt can definitely reflect on that and knows what I'm talking about. But I got a question for you, dog. You got the hook up there, Dave.
What's
can
up?
Can you hook a brother with a sweatshirt?
With a sweatshirt? That's what you're looking for? A little gear?
Little gear, man. I know you know people in high places.
I know a few people. I'm sure that they can get a sweatshirt for Mr. Gerard Cherry Browns overtime. I feel like, why not?
Exactly. Double XL, please.
Double XL. He's still bringing it, folks, under there. The pythons. Gerard, bye week weekend, obviously no Browns football. What stood out to you the most, though, from any of the other games? Maybe it was a play, maybe a player, maybe a team, et cetera, from this weekend slate.
The collapse of the Pittsburgh Steelers really stands out to me in that they had that game won. Looked like they were going to really beat handily the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and all of a sudden they just pretty much started resting on the fact that they were up in the game and just showed what Mike Tomlin said, that this is a team that's lacking discipline. And I hope they keep that lack of discipline when they play the Browns in a few weeks.
Talking about lack of discipline, I think that a team really struggling right now is the upcoming opponent of the Cleveland Browns. Just looking at the Tennessee Titans top to bottom, we've talked about the fact that there's no names out there that really scare the Cleveland Browns. Do you think this is the type of a must-win situation for the Cleveland Browns, knowing that we have the upcoming opponents thereafter Tennessee?
Yeah, I really do think it's a must-win situation because Vegas may say different, but I truly believe this is a game that you have to win. Just get back that good feeling to win a football game. And you're in a stretch here where you could realistically walk away from it with five straight wins or at least four. So it just starts that trend of beating teams that you can compete with and should beat. So I definitely say, Matt, that this is a must-win situation.
And how important is it to get that momentum coming off of a bye week? And how much of an advantage is it to have that bye week, to get that extra time to game plan for a team you know so well, where Ray Horton was your defensive coordinator last year, Dowell Loggins, now your quarterback coach, was their offensive coordinator a year ago. How much does that information play in and really help you to prepare the perfect game plan?
Oh, it'll definitely give you a sense of confidence that you know the personnel and what to expect and what they're going to bring to the table. But ultimately, Nathan, it goes back to what are you going to do to ensure that you play for four full quarters and you give it your all and you're fully emotionally and physically invested in this football game? And that's really what it's going to come down to. Don't read the press clippings and don't look at that roster, because when you do, you will not be impressed by a Tennessee Titans. But at the end of the day, they pulled an upset in a team they had no business beating, so you can be beaten any given Sunday. So I say more than anything, just go out there and play four full quarters and things should take care of itself with the Browns.
One dilemma that we have coming out of this bye week is Ben Tate getting back to full strength and being reinserted into this offense. We've talked about it with essentially every guest we've had on this far. Gerard, what's your take on divvying up those what Nathan and I have said is 32 reps in the offensive backfield? Who gets them and why?
Yeah, I was of the mindset that since the two rookies were hot and Ben, obviously you're paying him a decent amount of money, that you obviously want to work him in there, and probably the thought process that he is the better back. So if they're having this level of success, let's just see what he can do behind this offensive line. So you need to see that. But if there isn't a situation where Ben is dominating to the level that you've seen out of Crow and Weston, obviously you put them back in the forefront of your game planning as the game progresses. But I get why you need to see him, because if they're doing as well, you'd like to think that a veteran who's used to this running scheme and the system in itself would do even a much better job. So I get that and I respect that and I completely endorse that. But if Ben does struggle and he needs to get some rust off, please put the Crow and West back in there.
And who would you see right now if you were doing the depth chart? Let's just call Ben Tate the starter. He's a veteran. Wilbur Montgomery basically said he's the number one back. Who has shown you that they should be the number two back? Because I think it's going to be tough to get three backs the ball regularly. Who would be that number two for you?
For me, it's the Crow.
I agree.
I like what the Crow does. If for some reason it just seems more effortless on his part. And don't get me wrong, West is no slouch by any stretch of imagination.
He's awesome.
He's done phenomenal for the Browns in his role as a starter while Tate's been out. But I would just have to say, for some reason, you know, when you see a guy and just how they run and what they do just impresses you, and you really can't explain it. It just looks right, and it just should be. He's one of those guys. I guess it's kind of like when you find your missus. It's just supposed to be.
It's just love at first sight is what you've got with the Crows running style. Jordan Cameron was a Pro Bowler for this team last year. We know from watching the Ray Horton defense that they struggled mightily to stop tight ends. In fact, both tight ends of the Colts scored last week, or yesterday, in fact, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener. Is this the week in your mind that Jordan Cameron gets going? And how important is it for this Browns offense to have Jordan Cameron actually producing at that Pro Bowl level?
You know what, Nathan? Even if he's just a decoy and that opens up Miles Austin as well as the Hawks, I'm fine with that, and Gabriel and whoever else is out there, Mick Benjamin, that's fine too. But, yeah, if he has a chance to stretch the scene and get these guys concerned about him and make some plays, it'll bode well for his confidence. And, obviously, the more targets that Brian Hoyer has, you know he's capable of hitting multi-guys in the course of a football game, so it can only help. But also, too, you figure him coming off an injury and getting a chance to heal, he wants to go out there and press, because we can't forget this is a business, too, for the players. And this is a contract year for him, and he needs to put up meaningful numbers also, that being Jordan Cameron.
All right, Gerard, I'm going to change speeds on you and jump off the Browns really quick and give you a personal question. All right, talk to me about the best bye week you experienced in your career. Where did you go? Were you with your wife or were you not? And who was there with you?
Since we want to keep this a family show, I'm going to go with the one I was with my wife. And I would say that I think we went to the Bahamas, man, and just for like 4 days got away and came right back. It was an awesome trip, but I was playing for the Saints at the time, and I had no business actually going to the Bahamas. You shouldn't do that, because that just puts you in that mind state of football season not in play, so that was a bad idea.
I was just about to ask, was it difficult to come back and play football after 4 days on the beach in the Bahamas?
Yeah, that was a rough one. That was a rough
The reason why.
Right, let's turn this around, though.
Yeah,
hold on.
Here we go. I was ready for it.
All right, Matt, your best bye week.
My best bye week is very similar to Gerard's. I was with the San Diego Chargers and took a trip to Cabo San Lucas.
Whoa.
So I enjoyed the Mexican beaches with my wife.
A little Cabo Wabo?
Cabo Wabo and margaritas.
There you go. A little Sammy Hagar in there getting it done. A little Cabo Wabo tequila. So those are good. Those are good ones. I went to New York. I mean, I had a good time in New York, but it's not like it wasn't quite the same as your beaches there. Gerard, tonight, Monday Night Football, your former team, New England Patriots, going against the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think is going on with this Patriots team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, with Tommy Terrific not really having one of his better years so far?
Yeah, well, Tommy Terrific is getting Tommy no time, and that's because the offense is not putting up any blocking necessary for him to deliver the ball. I don't care if it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, two of the best in this era for sure. If you don't have time, you're not going to be a good quarterback to great. You just can't, because that obviously is the point of the defensive line to apply pressure. And what you're seeing is that the guys for the Patriots just aren't giving Tom the time that he needs to get the ball to his receivers, be it a short pattern or intermediate pattern. It's not even talking about the vertical game. So that Logan Mankins call, I know Bill every year or two likes to shake things up in the locker room just to keep guys honest, and that's totally his script of how he goes about doing things. But right now,
maybe a little too cute this time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, maybe so. Why get rid of your best lineman?
It's not like it was for a first-rounder. You know, when you trade Richard Seymour for a first-rounder, Deion Branch for a first-rounder, they trade him for a fourth-rounder and Tim Wright, who they're not using.
Right. So yeah, that's a great way of describing it. Too cute.
I'd like to see them.
Right now, that offensive line is not looking cute.
I'd like to see them do something for Tom Brady, and that is, I really think that you'd have an opportunity to right now to maybe make a trade for a guy like a Larry Fitzgerald or an Andre Johnson,
and
bring Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's not going to be around forever. People forget how old Tom Brady actually is. Get him a weapon out there so that this offense, because I think their D is going to be very good. They get Brandon Browner next week, but get him a weapon offensively that he can use on the outside, because when Julian Edelman, and this is no disrespect to Julian Edelman, but when he's your by far number one receiver and he's a guy who runs all underneath stuff, that doesn't stress a defense.
Yeah, it does not stretch a defense. And I've literally played him 4 weeks in a row at DraftKings with my fantasy league.
You're sick of him.
I think a marquee guy like that at this point in Brady's career, you extend his career. You know, if he's going to play out that big contract with the Patriots, you know, you instead of having a makeshift and just having Tom Brady with a bunch of guys and Gronk go out and play, you insert another big piece would extend his career and the success of the New England Patriots organization.
Yeah, you totally think that, Matt, especially when you saw what happened when you brought Randy Moss to your offense.
Exactly.
And how you
I saw that firsthand.
Breaking records. Yeah, exactly. So I do get it, because Bill's mantra is, you know what, we're a team. We don't need big names. We're going to beat you with or without a big name, and he's going to stick true to that. And if a big name falls in his lap, he'll obviously utilize it and exploit it, what they're capable of doing. But his main thing is, we're going to beat you with the team concept, and obviously it's working. But I'm with you guys, too, that if you really want to get some more value out of Tom and allow him to put up some more significant numbers, he's going to need some better targets to throw the football to.
Do you think, though, in some ways he's going back to the days when you were there and were a three-time Super Bowl champion? Those teams didn't have big-time receivers. Those teams ran the football and won with their defense more than their offense.
Yeah, and that may be what he's trying to do, go back in time and recapture something. But when you watch this team play, and you know what, though? Back then when I played with them, it was a struggle, too. It was week to week. It wasn't like we were dominating teams those first couple years. So maybe that's what he's trying to achieve. And obviously that formula can work on some levels. It's just it's making your quarterback look very suspect right now and getting him beat up.
All right, Gerard, thanks for your time. Final one here is this. What is the one thing that is the most critical for the Browns to correct this week against Tennessee if they want to go on the winning streak that everybody here wants them to, when you look at how nice this schedule shapes up for the next five games?
Well, if I see Bishop Sankey, the rookie from Washington, I believe the second-round draft pick of the Tennessee Titans, running outside because no one set the edge or there's no one in containment or no one runs with him or the other running backs on this squad for the Titans, I'm going to have some major issues, because if you're Jabal Sheard, if you're Barkevious Mingo, if you're Paul Kruger, and whoever else is on the outside right there, you cannot allow this to be a continuation of how you play defense by not being responsible for what's outside of you and setting the edge. So I need to see that. And if that's set, then I think we can play some meaningful defense, man, because we're probably getting up 200 to 300 yards on not setting the edge alone.
I know. Let's get it done against this Titans team, averaging 15 points per game offensively throughout the season, just 11 points per game over their last 3 weeks. And hopefully that is the cure for the Browns. Gerard, appreciate it as always.
Thanks,
can catch
bro.
Gerard on the Really
no
Big
problem,
Show every day, 9 a.m., right before our show here on CBD.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Yes, indeed it is. Yes, indeed it is. So here we are, Matt. The players get back tomorrow. We've seen some of them trickling in. Okay, we've just heard about you going to Cabo. We've heard about Gerard going to the Bahamas. What do we want to be hearing that the Browns players did on their bye weeks? I'm going to throw out a specific name to you, Justin Gilbert. What do you hope you heard Justin Gilbert did on his bye week?
I would like to hear if Justin Gilbert, for not the entire break, but half of his break, he went back to. Is he from Oklahoma?
Justin Gilbert?
Or is he from Texas?
I believe he's from Texas.
Okay. I would like to hear that Justin Gilbert went home to Texas for a couple days, but got back to Cleveland, you know, got in, you know, was in here early in the morning before most people got, you know, were even walking into their office, and, you know, got a workout, got a lift, and stayed familiar with this building, because this building and the people in this building are the people that are going to rely on him, and he's going to have to rely on to build his confidence. So that, to me, especially as a rookie, you know, I don't want to have personally, it's again just Justin Gilbert or even Johnny Manziel or Pierre Desir. I don't want to have a rookie taking this break and maxing that opportunity of, I'm going to be away as long as I can, you know, because it's going to be the next 13. No, it's like you got to be chomping at the bit to get back to work because you have a lot to prove.
My dad was like, what is Johnny Manziel doing dipping on the sideline of the Texas A&M game? I said, he's going down to support his guys. I had no problem with it. No crazy stories came out of it.
No.
So I think it worked out well there with him. Yeah, and I'm excited to get this team back. I talked to Barkevious Mingo earlier today. That interview right now is up at clevelandbrowns.com. And he's a guy who is here right now. He wants to be, you know, he's focused on getting back, wants to get to the quarterback, knows this defense has to get better. And he kind of preached what everybody else is, that it's the details that have been the devil for this Browns defense early on.
Definitely is. And that's what separates good from great across this football team. You just heard Gerard talk about it with the New England Patriots. It's, you know, rosters not full of stars, but it was, you know, winning the tough games, winning at home, and Bill Belichick's attention to detail with those non-star players on that team is what makes the New England Patriots great. I wouldn't mind seeing Coach Mike Pettine and this, you know, group of guys, and we do have stars on this football team who can make plays. It's everybody else, and fitting all those pieces together and attention to detail is what's going to separate this Browns team from breaking the mold of where we've been to who we are now.
That's right. And you talked about confidence. You talked about winning when the team believes it can win. But how important is it for this defense to come out and have that one game where they shut down somebody, and hopefully it's the Titans, they shut them down, they say, okay, does that, now we're back and you can start playing more confidently, and that helps, that matters.
It definitely does. You know what it is? It's every great artist or every great team or every great painter paints that masterpiece that they always go back to. And that's what we'd love to have this game be for this Cleveland defense, is to play a great game, minimal amount of errors, you know what I mean? Turning the ball over, sacking the quarterback, getting off the field on third down. So at this point in the season, it's your fourth game, but yet you have 12 more opportunities to look back and be like, remember how it felt when we were doing that against Tennessee? Let's do that again. And you can look back at that film and go, hey, we've painted a pretty perfect picture. That is the standard of our defense. We know we can do it. Now let's go replicate it week after week after week.
It's like a one-hit wonder. You want to have that one hit that you can cite, and at least you can build off of that.
Absolutely.
And use, and hopefully launch yourself springboard into a solid game. So you and I think 4-1 is reasonable. 5-0 is certainly possible for these next five games for the Browns. To me, 3-2 has to be the worst case scenario. If the Browns come out of here and go 2-3 in these next five games, that's when I'm going to say, okay, I'll be unhappy, I will be bummed, and I will think that this is a season where the Browns are not going to get where they want to get by December. Because I think if you can go at worst 3-2, you come out of here, and now you're sitting there, you're at 4-4. You're very much in the conversation. There are still some winnable games to come. The Houston Texans at home, the Buffalo Bills, Atlanta. You still have some opportunities there. And certainly every game in the NFL is winnable. We've seen that every single week. But I think that this is the opportunity to really build that momentum, make a statement that these aren't the same old Browns. And I think 4-1, 3-2 in here is also fine. But I think a 4-1 in this stretch would, I mean, blow
the roof
minds.
Off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're definitely correct. And now that I, you know, you dive deeper into these next five games, but in more so, it's like, I'd truly love to make these next two a microcosm of the next five.
Because, oh, they're huge.
Because this one, coming out of a bye against a team that you should beat, fixes, you've had plenty of time to make those fixes. Let's go out and see them. Win that ball game on the road. You can prove the model that you've done it. And then you come home against a division opponent. So that's when you talk about, you know, 3-2, 4-1, or whoever. It's like, you got to win this one, which we've said, Jim Donovan said, Sean has said, you have said, I have said, coming out of this bye. But then on the other must win in my eyes is the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you can't,
must.
You know, you can't win.
Two in a row.
You can't beat the teams you're supposed to beat, but lose to the division opponent, because winning in the division is such a high, you know, priority in this football team now.
And you can't get, well, you're 0-2 in the division, and you don't want to get swept by the Steelers. That's a team that certainly you could get ahead of here in the standings, and hopefully if the Browns win the next two, they can do just that. That's what we want to see. Want to thank Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Kevin Jones from ClevelandBrowns.com, Gerard Cherry from The Really Big Show, all joining us here today. Thanks to our producers for doing a great job. Thanks for you. Great calls, great interaction on social media. We appreciate it. Matt and I will be back tomorrow for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
F-150. Boss.
Boss.
Boss. Browns back. Manana.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.